Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
And we are here at the shores of the El Pacifico in our News and Information Hour. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendrick Show. And just a change of pace here tonight, we have Bud Dickman. Bud, how you doing?
I'm good. Remember my name.
I know what your name is, Robert Leonard.
How you doing?
Good, Robert. And we have on the line with us R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. R.C., how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It sounds like you almost called me Brad.
Yeah, that's a douchebag name.
Yeah, the name Brad's almost as douche-like as Chad.
No.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you Brad. You're at Bradley Military Academy.
Yes, sir.
And R.C.'s going to hang out with us.
Can I say one thing, Mr. Henry, before...
Go ahead.
Well, you were talking before the commercials ended about Knott's Berry Farm and the different, you know, the kind of that whole paradigm.
Well, we were talking about Knott's Berry Farm as a place at entertainment, Bud.
Yeah, we're talking about how the comedians work on a jungle ride.
Yeah, but the jungle ride's not at Disneyland.
No, I know the jungle ride is Disneyland.
I mean, not Knott's Berry Farm.
Right. The jungle ride is... No, we were just saying that a lot of comedians, you talk to some of these guys, they started out working on the jungle ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, that's good. If you're on a jungle ride at Disneyland, you notice they're all, like, they're funny men and stuff. They hire black people to be on a jungle ride? Why not? On account of being racist.
Why wouldn't they hire black people to be on a jungle ride? It would be probably more authentic.
Hey, man, I don't have to sit still for this racist... What are you doing?
Hey. Why don't you guys can it, okay?
I didn't mean to be racist or nothing.
Wouldn't it be more authentic?
Well, I mean, they've already got natives and stuff.
Yeah, but they're made out of plastic.
All right, let's get off the kick of whether it's more authentic. What if you gave a jungle ride? What if you're on a jungle ride at Disney? That's a white guy. Maybe he's a traitor. Maybe he's one of the.
What do you mean a traitor?
Yeah,
a T-R-A-D-E-R traitor. Maybe he's one of those South African jackballs. You know.
Well, that's kind of racist to say that. And
why don't you give it a rest? Okay, I'm not going to get into some political discussion about Africa and whether it's right to have a white guy on the jungle ride. That's what they got. They mostly have white guys in the jungle ride. I bet you if they put a black guy in the jungle ride, it would be there'd be hell to pay.
Yeah, there'd be hell to pay, man, on account of what these two jackballs said. I'm not trying to be racist. I just said. Yeah, I want you to shut up, man.
Both of you guys, shut up.
Looks like I really stirred up a kettle of dog doo-doo with that one, didn't I?
Well, no, but you know that when you bring these things up, Mr. Collins, if I may be formal.
I'd rather you call me R.C.
Yeah, it's probably more cuddly.
Shut up, you gay.
All right. Oh, God. I want you guys to take my lead on these discussions tonight. Otherwise, I'm going to have to beat somebody up. And I really don't feel like doing it tonight, okay? It's been kind of a long weekend, and I'm just now coming to the end of it.
What'd you get, like a 3-day weekend?
No, I did not. I was working yesterday on a TV show. Thank you very much.
Well, okay, so big deal, so you're a TV star.
No, I'm just saying. Anyway, what do you want to say about this? We can move on.
Well, I was just saying that when you guys were talking about Disneyland had a jungle ride.
Yeah, and most of stand-up comedian worked there.
A lot of stand-up comics worked on the jungle ride.
Okay, so I was saying that Steve Martin one time worked at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, I thought that pretty interesting.
I didn't know that. Yeah, Steve Martin worked at Knott's Berry Farm playing a banjo, telling jokes.
Yeah, he worked in one of them, you know, like old-timey saloon places or something like that. I'm not sure which one it was.
Was he on a jungle ride, though?
No, he wasn't on a jungle ride. There ain't no jungle ride at the Knott's Berry Farm. What, are you slow or something?
What do you mean jungle ride, man? I ain't got one. Yeah, I know, but I just...
They got a mine train.
A mine train?
No, mine. M-I-N-E.
Mine train, not a mime train.
Damn, people are doing stuff but not talking.
Mine train, not a mime train. Hey, take it easy, man. Well, what is it with this guy?
I didn't hear too good, sorry.
The guy's got a plate in his head, so he does have an excuse.
All right, I'm sorry, bud. I didn't mean to yell at you.
Oh, just trying to find out stuff.
Oh, take it easy.
No, he's crying.
Take it easy. I'm sorry I yelled at you, okay? It's a mine train, Bud. M-I-N-E.
What's that mean?
It means one of the old-time mine trains, man, when they used to take the train and it would go into the mine and it would get the, you know.
Yeah, it would get the precious gems and the diamonds and everything like that.
You mean like a miner or something?
Yeah, like a miner. And they go in and they get their gold, you know, the miners, you know.
Yeah, the 49ers.
Yeah, just like that song.
In a tavern, excavating for a mine, was a miner 49er.
And he had sex with his daughter, Caroline.
Oh, my. Will you
Yeah, you were real balling there a minute ago. I'm telling you, man.
Mr. Henry, I didn't say nothing bad.
No, but you laughed. So Knott's Berry Farm is where Steve Martin worked, playing the banjo, you know.
Yeah, singing the blues.
Playing the banjo, singing the blues, whatever the hell he did. And so...
But Mr. Henry, I've got the reason why I brought it up is I've got the background on how Knott's Berry Farm started. Because I know Bud likes it, and I like it, too. In many ways, it's superior to Disneyland.
I know it's a lot older than Disneyland, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's a year older. It's a year older than Disneyland, yeah.
Well, still, in amusement park terms, that's a long time. That could be hundreds of years because, man, it takes a lot to get an amusement park made. You'd have to short blank every cannibal in the Congo. And
Hey, man, come on now.
What is it with you guys?
Sorry.
Short blank every cannibal in the Congo. You know what? I'm gonna hang up on all of you, okay?
Can't hang up on me.
I'm the only one on the phone.
I understand that, but I'm going to tell you guys right now. You know what good taste is. You know the boundaries of taste. You know the parameters. Why do you continually stray over those lines? It's insulting to Robert. You've worked with Robert a long time.
He's always making fun about tards.
No, I'm not, man. I make jokes about a guy with a plate in his head.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, we'll stop. You guys make jokes about anything you want. Don't make jokes about each other.
Guy can't make jokes about me, though.
Yeah, I can't make a joke about a guy who's only got one testicle.
Shut up.
Okay. So what about Knott's Berry Farm?
Knott's Berry Farm? Can't believe it.
Well, you do only have one testicle.
Yeah, because I had a ball cancer.
Yeah, don't you have Uniball?
No, I've got Phantom Ball.
What is Phantom Ball?
It's when... Oh, God, I can't believe you don't know this.
You gotta count up to Phantom Arm, same thing.
Yeah, you ain't never heard of Phantom Ball. No, I haven't.
It's when, just like if a guy loses his arm, and he's walking down the street, and he thinks he's got an arm, he'll reach over and scratch it. Same thing with Phantom Ball.
Okay, I understand.
So anyway, when old man Knott's... He first started Knott's Berry Farm one day when, he was trying to sell some berries or whatever he grows, and he's trying to get people to stop their cars at the side of the road to buy the berries. Well, the people were stopping and everything, and they wanted to get more and more and more and more. So old man Knott said to old lady Knott, he goes, hey, we're getting a lot of, you know, customers for the berries, but they're having to wait for them, and they're bored to tears. And you're just sitting around doing nothing. Get your ass in the kitchen and get some chicken dinners cooked up. Otherwise... This right hand has seen it all. And anyway...
Yeah.
Get your ass!
What a horrible story.
Well, he did. How is she going to get her in there? Hey, woman, get in there and start cooking up some of the chicken dinners.
I'm sure this right hand has seen it all.
Yeah, this right testicle...
Okay, thank you. You guys shut up.
It's pretty good.
So Knott's Berry Farm, huh, was started when old man Knott said to his wife, get in there and cook up some chicken dinners, otherwise this right hand has seen it all. God. We'll be right back with this evening's news, such as it is. I guess the biggest story is that Santorum quit. The other big story is that George Zimmerman's attorneys quit. Let's get into that story. It's interesting. It's very weird, and it's probably not all that unexpected. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Come on, old lady, get in there and make me a chicken dinner.
famous Bill Henry Show.
Never be able to do that.
Well, you're wrong. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. R.C. Collins with us tonight, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And we were just briefly... what I asked you guys, because all of you guys saw Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, right?
Yeah, I did.
Did you, Bud?
I've seen it yet, no.
R.C.?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. In the movie, which supposedly takes place in the early 70s, there's a very famous British food chain or hamburger chain. You can see their logo, and I just don't know.
Well, which one are you talking about?
Talking about Wimpy.
Yeah, I'm talking about Wimpy Burgers. Wimpy is a famous chain in the UK. It's a hamburger chain, not unlike our McDonald's, although when I had a Wimpy Burger, it was in the 80s. It wasn't all that hot, but I hear it's gotten better.
Well, I'm not familiar with it at all, and I went to England one time with Father. And
yeah, you see your dad on a factory over there?
He does now. This is when Father was scouting for factory locations.
Okay, well, in any event, I don't know if Wimpy Burger was around then. When were you there?
Well, I was there in the early 2000s, so Wimpy Burger might not have come around by then.
No, man, he said Wimpy Burger there in 73.
No, I didn't say it was there in 73. I'm saying I don't know if it was.
Yeah, you did. Says in the movie.
The movie takes place in 1973, but the movie was actually shot in 2011. Or 10.
What?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Are you guys listening to me, or are you just still sitting there thumbing it? I said...
What do you mean thumbing it? I'm listening to what you're saying.
No, you're not. I said, in the movie, now my right arm. What happened to my right? My left shoulder was bad.
Man, what? You gotta quit. Yeah, man, what'd you do, change hands?
I had to beat your ass just for... Get out of here with that. I said, in the movie... Tinker Taylor Soldier Taylor. No, it wasn't. It was Tinker.
I know it was, but it was Tinker Taylor Sailor Taylor.
No, it wasn't. It was Tinker Taylor Soldier Sailor.
Yeah.
Tinker Taylor Soldier Spy.
Tinker Taylor Sailor Spy.
Yeah, Tinker Sailor Taylor Spy.
Tinker Sailor. Beat ass on somebody.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
What happened to RC?
I put him on hold so he didn't have to hear what was about to happen. You still there?
Yeah, what'd you do?
Kicked his ass. Tinker Taylor Soldier Spy. And in the movie, which takes place in 1970-something, it isn't actually 1970-something because the movie was shot in 2011. Okay?
No...
I mean, no, I'm confused.
Yeah, I guess I am, too.
Yeah, you're really confused.
Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. So in that movie, there's a Wimpy Burger. I'm just saying, in the early 70s, I don't know if Wimpy Burger was... Maybe it was. Maybe I'm just yammering on. I don't know. God, my arm hurts.
Well, I do know, Mr. Henry, that Tinker Taylor... Or I shouldn't say Tinker Taylor. Tinker Taylor was around, but not really.
What does that mean?
What are you talking about?
I mean, in the early 1970s, the Tinker Taylor was around.
You mean the events that might have taken place were happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not really.
Why not really?
Out of character, he hadn't written a book yet.
It doesn't mean the events aren't taking place. It means that he hadn't written the book yet. That's all that means. God. All right, I don't know why we got off, you know.
Well, you said you wanted to talk about something that you were going to do a quiz and everything.
Yeah, you want to make it all a big quiz, and nobody gave a damn.
Okay, well, great. You didn't give a damn, so I'm glad we got rid of that. I thought maybe we could get rid of it quickly, but I guess not. Man. All right, it's the news and information hour. Now, let's get down to brass tacks here with our George Zimmerman story. This is an interesting story. This thing that happened today is a mind blower. I don't know if I brought my glasses with me or not. Bud, do you know where they are?
This is me here.
Thank you. Bud, do you know where they are?
Yeah, probably where your iPhone is, and I don't know where that is either.
Thank you very much. That was great.
You're welcome.
Here's my iPhone. In any event, George Zimmerman in Sanford, Florida, the Trayvon Martin case took a bizarre turn on Tuesday when George Zimmerman's attorneys quit. They were complaining that they had lost all contact with him and that he had called the prosecutor and talked to a TV host after they told him not to speak to anybody.
Boy, this guy's really screwing the pooch on this one. I'll tell you that much right now.
And anyway, and late Tuesday, Special Prosecutor Angela Corey said she would announce new information about the controversial case within 72 hours.
How many days is that?
Yeah.
72 hours is 3 days, 4 days. I don't know. 3 days.
No, it's 4 days.
No, it's not. It's 3 days. 48 and 20 is 68, and yes, it's three. It's
4 days.
3 days. Attorney Craig Soner and Hal Urig portrayed the former Neighborhood Watch volunteer as erratic and his mental state as shaky, and they expressed fear for his health under the pressure that's been building since he shot and killed Martin, an unarmed black teenager, on February the 26th. Said the attorneys, this is Mr. Soner speaking, as of the last couple of days, he has not returned phone calls, text messages, or emails, he said at the news conference outside Seminole County Courthouse in Sanford, Florida. He's gone out on his own. I'm not sure what he's doing or who he's talking to. I cannot go forward speaking to the public about George Zimmerman and this case as representing him because I have lost contact with him. Now, what that means is...
Yeah, I don't understand.
What that means is... They told their client, don't talk to anybody. And if there's one thing that lawyers tell you, when something's being litigated, either on your behalf or it's something being litigated against you, they tell you, don't say anything.
Why do they always tell you not to say nothing? Father always says that, too, whenever he gets sued.
Well, you know what? Don't talk so much about your dad.
Why not? I love Father.
That's fine. Don't talk about his legal stuff.
I don't hear about it.
One time, this lady said that he touched her on
the... Okay. In any event, the attorneys will tell you don't say anything because when you do, the opposition will take your words and use them in ways that you can't even imagine. You may say something as innocent as, well, you know what? I never went near that girl. Those guys will take that. And they will read it in court. They might read it as part of the public record. They may say, ah, Mr. So-and-so said, you know what, I never went near that girl. Well, we do know that on October the 3rd he went near her, and we do know that on October the 10th he went near her, and we do know that... And they will take all of these, you know, these statements that you make.
Yeah, but if you said you'd go near her, then they'd say that they're lying.
Yeah, what about that? If you say you didn't go near her...
Maybe when you said you didn't go near her, maybe you were talking about that specific event that they're talking about. Maybe they weren't talking about the 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 other times that you did go near. Maybe you worked with her. So the lawyers are going to take this from the opposition. You see how he's misconstruing the truth? He said he didn't go near her. Well, we know that he was with her at the time they had lunch on February the 23rd. And we know that he was... And we also have testimony... So they'll make it into what they want to make it into, and it can become quite a thicket of troubles for your own lawyer. That's what they tell you. Don't say anything. See? And so what Zimmerman has done is he's broken the cardinal rule of every client that any attorney ever had. He's talking. Now he did something that was absolutely unforgivable, and if I was a lawyer, I'd quit too. Not only is he talking, he talked to the prosecution.
Well, what's wrong with that? Maybe you want to tell the lady, hey, lady, I'm innocent of all of the charges what has been brought to me.
Wait, you mean that? They haven't charged him with no crime yet.
Well, they haven't charged him with a crime yet, but if he's going to be charged with a crime, the opposition in this will definitely be the prosecutor. And the men that are representing him, unless I'm completely stupid here, and George Zimmerman is even dumber than me, which he probably is, but whoever's doing the hiring for him, and maybe these guys offered their services. These guys are criminal defense attorneys. Okay? So you guys say he hasn't been charged with anything? Well, why does he have criminal defense attorneys?
Well, it stands to reason. If the guy, they're about ready to railroad the guy, throw a gaff hook into him and string him up, nude for all to see, you know?
Well, whatever. So in other words, you're saying that they are criminal defense attorneys?
Well, yeah.
Okay, fine. Don't go through the whole soliloquy.
There's the music. You gotta shut up.
Yeah, you gotta shut up now.
Okay, so what? So big deal, so I'll shut up. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
world-famous Bill Henry Show.
What about it?
Well, that's because that's where they were transferring.
Hold on for a minute. Phil Henry here with R.C. Collins, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard here this evening as we talk about the Charles Manson. We're back on Manson now. Now, what were you saying, R.C.?
Well, I was talking to Dan Northcraft, who works on your show.
Uh-huh.
And he said he's seen him when they transferred Manson to Pelican Bay.
Oh, really? Did that where they took him?
No, I didn't know he was there.
Yeah. Remember in Training Day? You'll all be playing basketball in Pelican Bay.
Yeah, Shoe Project.
Hey. I remember, I didn't even know what Shoe Project meant. You know?
Yeah, I know, Mr. Henry. You're all thinking you know about it, and you don't.
Okay, so I didn't.
It means special housing unit, okay? That's what Shoe Project means.
You're talking about being a shoe project in a special housing unit. That means you're in lockdown. Yeah, you don't know that?
Yeah, neither did you. So don't give me that.
Yeah, so anyway.
And how do you know about it?
Don't worry about it. I've got friends, okay? I've had some friends that have had some rough times. And
yeah, sure. I'll bet you have.
I have. Chris Sorensen, what about him?
Is that the guy that you sacrificed a chicken with?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we sacrificed a chicken in the Amtrak tunnel.
Yeah, well, what he doesn't tell you about the sacrificed chicken, it was already dead. It was a barbecued chicken that they bought at Vaughn's.
Shut up. No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. All right, so anyway, Manson got transferred to where? To Pelican Bay.
Yeah. He got transferred to Pelican Bay and everything.
Just like in the movie.
What do you mean, just like in the movie? In the movie, Denzel Washington is telling those guys that they might go up to Pelican Bay. We're talking about Charles Manson going to Pelican Bay, although I don't think he's in Pelican Bay anymore, is he?
Well, what, in Pelican Bay literally or in the prison?
What?
What are you talking about?
I thought you meant, is he in Pelican Bay?
Is he in the prison?
No, he's at Corcoran.
Man, what an idiot, man. We're not talking about him being in Pelican Bay. We're talking about the prison.
Well?
Oh, you got to be dumber than you look. No, you didn't really think I meant in... All right, so anyway, enough about Manson. I hope he rots. I hope that guy dies sooner rather than later. There's only one problem. There's only one thing the only problem I had personally with the entire Charles Manson episode. I don't even have a problem with the fact that they commuted the sentence to the death. I'll tell you the thing about the death penalty for me. Here's the thing about the death penalty for me. I'm not opposed to the death penalty at all. Not at all. I'm in favor of it. But I don't get really wound up and crazy any longer when a guy... I personally think the death penalty in the state of California has been turned into... It's a mockery of the actual penalty. In other words, there are families who have suffered at the hands of these murderers who have been waiting for the sentence to be carried out on these murderers, and they continue to live on death row in California because of the numbers of appeals and the asinine judicial system in this state. And that is just like a slap to the face of those families. This is slapping them in the face every day that scum stays alive. And so I got no problem with the death penalty. Now, if somebody says to me, yeah, but you know what? If you keep them alive for the rest of their lives and they're forced to live for, 30, 40 years in prison, that's far worse than the death penalty. Generally, that person is an opponent of the death penalty. So then I have to ask myself the following question. So you're an opponent of the death penalty, but you're in favor of torture.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you, bud. So you're in favor of... Well, then what do you mean? Are you in favor of torture or are you not? You know?
Well, not torture. Keep the guy alive.
If you're opposed to the death penalty and you tell me, yeah, but I'm in favor of life in prison, and besides, Mr. Henry, that's much worse. Well, really? Then why are you opposed to the death penalty? I don't understand something. If it's much worse to keep a guy alive in prison than it is to give him the death penalty, then what are you opposed to the death penalty for? It's much worse to keep the guy alive in prison, and that's what you prefer over the death penalty. That must mean that you're in favor of torture or making the sentence even worse.
Well, maybe they are.
Yeah, but they never are. There are always people that are opposed to the death penalty. And then, of course, we have this group. People that are opposed to the death penalty And then people who say, oh, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent. And those are generally people that are also opposed to the death penalty. There's a whole bunch of people that got, everybody gets mixed together in these situations in these cases where you find opponents to a person being put to death. The Roger Coleman case, I always bring it up because it's such a classic example of when these people have been wrong. Nobody has ever proven that anybody has been put to death who was subsequently found not guilty.
Well, wait a second, Mr. Henry. You can't say that. That's not right.
Really? Then you show me the case. And I'm not talking about where maybe could be. I'm talking about proven case where someone was put to death, I mean, by state execution or federal execution in a reasonable period of time here. I mean, I'm sure that in the 19th century, when the prejudices of the people ran so high and police science was non-existent, I'm sure there were plenty of innocent people thrown into prison, and no question there were innocent people that were killed. But let's just talk about, you can't, I mean, in the 19th century, in every country in the world, that was going on. And as I like to say, and I do like to say it, much, much worse than here. Having said all of that, within a reasonable span, shall we say, let's say, for instance, in the last 50 years, an innocent man having been executed, and it was subsequently found out that he was innocent.
Well, I bet you there is a case and everything.
Yeah, you'd have to do research and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, go on, man. Get working on it.
Exactly. Get working on it. In the meantime, I will continue to make the claim that I'm making that no, it hasn't happened. But I will tell you in at least the case of Roger Coleman and probably others where people were saying, oh, an innocent man. Oh, this poor innocent man. And even he had everybody conned. He had them all believing it. He had that poor lawyer in that Innocence Project. Oh, man.
What was that guy?
Huh?
What was that guy, the lawyer?
He was some well-meaning moron. I'm sorry to say it, but he was.
You can't call him a moron. He was a lawyer and stuff.
I don't care. He was a guy that was convinced. You know, it always happens this way. When you are convinced of something, you will throw out fact after fact after fact until just your worldview exists. That's not a scientific view. That's a prejudice view. When you are already convinced of something and you set out to prove that you're already right, you're not doing anybody any favors. And that's what this guy was doing. Until finally this Roger Coleman guy goes to his death. Everybody thinks he's innocent. The whole world thinks he's innocent. Time magazine had him on the cover. Here's an interesting thing about Time magazine. When Coleman was executed, was found to be guilty because they finally did test the DNA at the crime scene, and it did match to Roger Coleman, Mr. Innocent, Mr. I never killed anybody, Mr. You're sending an innocent man to his death. When it finally did match, and the Innocence Project stood there, that lawyer stood there like a poor, dumb, fumbling clown, and he had to admit that he had been conned, and he did. I didn't see Time magazine report word one of any of it, man. Nothing. There wasn't anything. I went back the very week that DNA result was released. I went back to Time magazine just to see what they were... They didn't even mention it.
Well, they were embarrassed. You can't expect them to mention something like that on account of they had the guy on the cover.
Oh, yeah? Why not?
Well, I mean, they got a magazine to sell. Yeah, they got business considerations.
Ain't you never heard of that?
Ain't I never heard of... Yeah, sure. Business. Yeah, you're right. You guys are right. And besides, to make them look like a bunch of dumbasses. So, yeah, business considerations.
Well, now you're saying that they're gutless.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. Hey, give a cigar, bright boy over here. Hey, real bright boy over here. You better believe that's what I'm saying. They're gutless. So in any event, that's what happened there. And so now we have the death penalty modern times here. As I mean, you know, the turn of the 21st century. And every time there's some, you know, capital case before the people in the press, it always comes down to, no, he's innocent. He's innocent. He's innocent. Okay, well, if he's guilty, you're okay with the death penalty, right? No. Oh, well, then this is a death penalty thing, man. It's got nothing to do with whether he's innocent or not. Okay? Then there's the death penalty people who say, I don't believe in the death. You believe he should be in prison for the rest of his life? Yes. I guarantee you, in the coming months, you will not hear that argument any longer about how it's much worse, because it makes them sound like a bunch of fiends that really want to extract a torturous, you know, experience for this guy.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll tell you this much. if the guy is guilty, he should go to prison for the rest of his life. And I really believe that. And
what about the death penalty?
I don't believe the death penalty is right on account of that's not man's right to kill a guy. And besides, okay, you're going to laugh. And
you're not going to say you walk right into Mr. Henry's trap.
I don't care. I'm not walking into no trap. I'm not walking into no trap. Besides, it is more worse than to be dead.
Well, then how come you're against the death penalty?
Exactly.
What?
Why are you against the death penalty if it's worse?
If what's worse?
If life in prison is worse than the death penalty, how could you possibly be against the death penalty because it's not as bad as life in prison?
Because we don't have the right to take a guy's life.
Okay, I will go with you on that. I will accept that we don't have the right to take a guy's life. So why do you have to point out that the death penalty or that life in prison is worse?
Because it is.
Yeah, don't you get it?
Hey, bud, shut up.
God.
Just, no, I don't get it, to be honest with you. I don't get it. I don't understand how you can make that argument, how you can say the death penalty is against man's law. It's only God's right to take a man's life. Besides, so you want me to feel reassured that even though I shouldn't kill a guy, because that's God's right and not mine, don't worry about it, Phil, because the guy being in prison for the rest of his life is worse torture than being killed.
Exactly.
That's mental.
Yeah, it does sound kind of crazy, man.
Why does it sound crazy? Makes a whole bunch of sense to me, and it does to Bud, too. You don't know what time it is out on the street. And
Yeah, get out of here. It doesn't make any sense to anybody that has a brain in their head. So God only has the right to take a person's life, but man has the right to put a man in prison for the rest of his life, and that's much worse than him dying. Dying is way less of a punishment than life in prison. And yet, we cannot do that to him. We can't give him the deliverance of death, which is far less of a punishment than life in prison, because only God has the right to take that man's life, which would be a mercy compared to what man is about to do to him, put him in prison for the rest of his life. You ain't selling that to me, man. I ain't buying that. Forget it.
No, are you kidding me? That's stupid. What are you talking about? God only has the right.
Yeah, well, you know something, Bud, I don't believe that. And now you're basing it on your Bible, and that's fine.
Don't talk bad about the Bible.
I'm not talking bad about it. I just don't. You guys have stretched and tortured that logic to the point where I can't even discuss this crap anymore.
Don't talk about God being crap, neither. You didn't tell me God crap, saying you crap.
Your thinking is crap, is what I'm saying. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. News and Information Hour, but don't stick. No logic, that's for sure.
Speak for
truth
yourself. I'm
is
making
our
sense.
Bitch.
No, you're
the
not.
Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, truth may be your bitch, but you're my bitch.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, after the show, you can go over to our website, philhendryshow.com. Check out our show log. It'll show you, everything that happened during the show. And right there on our show log. Stay close to the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com, for show news, for things coming up, for different... we're always adding to our archives. We generally have a new item or two for the merchandise shop, some Phil Hendry appearance on TV.
You didn't tell nobody about the TV show.
Well, that's true. I should talk about it. I was on National Terrorism Strike Force San Diego Sports Utility Vehicle was the name. Where's RC? RC, you know that show?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a satirization of the terrorism. I don't agree with it, but it's a pretty good, funny show anyway. And
what do you talk about?
Well, they said that... It's more like a satirize of a serial crime unit thing.
Yeah, that's like Miami CSI or something.
Yeah, you know, and it's a goofy, it's a goofy kind of a setup of that. Well, Paul Scheer and Rebecca Romijn and Martin Starr and Kate Mulgrew and others in the cast. And I worked on an episode yesterday. I was really happy. I'll tell you, that it would be a great show to work on full time, you know?
Well, are they going to hire you to be on there full time?
I'm not going to speculate. No, no, they haven't. No, I'm not going to work on that show full time. I'm just saying it would be very nice.
Yeah, that's why you said that. You're hoping that they will.
Yeah, you're kind of putting the feelers out there, ain't you?
No, get him out of here, will you?
Just hung up on RC.
Fine. Square it with his dad. Square it with father when he calls in to sue me. Besides, I needed to get rid of him so I could, you know, concentrate on talking about myself. So anyway, yeah. So yesterday I worked on an episode of the show. It was a lot of fun. Great crew. And did work with those guys. And one of the guest stars, besides myself, if I'm a guest star, I don't even know if I was a guest star so much as maybe I was a featuring, you know.
What's the difference?
That just depends on where you are in the cast, but or whether you are in the credits. But I'm driving, and I don't ever recognize people until I put two and two together. I'm walking over toward where the set is, and I see a guy pull in, a gray-haired man with a goatee. And he pulls into a slot, and he's being talked to by an assistant, a production assistant. And she says, okay, you know, and go over here. And he goes into his dressing room, and he comes out, and then she comes against me. And so the two of us start walking over to the set. She says, oh, Phil, and this is Hal. And he says, hi, Phil, Hal Linden. I said, Hal Linden? I said, I didn't say this. He says, oh, I know your work. This guy was in a TV show called Barney Miller. And you don't know it, bud, do you?
I've never heard about it, but I have seen people what I heard of it.
I know about it. You know Barney Miller? Okay. This show was a big hit, man. It was a big hit in the 70s, and Hal Linden has been in television before and since. He started on the Broadway stage and musical theater in the 50s, did Broadway throughout the 60s, was a native of New York, and came to Los Angeles in the early 70s, and finally landed this Barney Miller show, which was a big hit. And I was talking to him, and he said, it was funny. He says, I was named the number one newcomer of the year in 1975. He said, I was already 45. He said, I became a star in my 40s. But he still does theater and television. And all of a sudden, here he is on Paul's show. And I was talking to Paul Scheer, who's the producer of the show. He said, we didn't know whether we'd be able to get Hal Linden. The guy's a big star. He said, but we took a shot, you know, and asked for him. And the character that he played was hysterically funny. The plot of this thing is just bizarre and funny. And
what did you do?
I was one of I don't want to tell you about the show because I don't want to give it away. But I was one of the people that was a follower of Hal Linden's character.
What about Rebecca Romijn and Martin Starr?
Yeah, I had a scene with both of those guys. And there's another thing about Rebecca Romijn, who is, you know, very popular and among the guys. Yeah, I didn't even know who it was when I walked up to talk to some people. And then they introduced me to her. And
then you asked her out on a date?
No, I didn't. The woman's married. Besides, no, I'm there to work. But I did get a picture with her. So if you go to our website, you'll see a picture of me with Ms. Romijn, as well as Martin Starr, as well as Hal Linden. And there's a couple of shots there from the set of National Terrorism Strike Force San Diego Sports Utility Vehicle.
Man, that one hell of a name. Is that what they call that?
It's actually NTSF-SD-SUV. So check it out. It's on Adult Swim, and I believe it's on at midnight. I don't want to say Wednesdays, maybe. Check it out. It's cool. It's a funny show. We had a lot of fun doing it. Just finally, one quick thing here, which you probably already know, but we'll just give you the official word. Rick Santorum's decision to leave the Republican presidential race boosted two candidacies. Mitt Romney was spared two more weeks of struggle before he could be crowned the presumptive nominee, even as Santorum set the stage for a future run for office. Santorum's announcement Tuesday that he would suspend his campaign effectively ending a bruising intra-party clash that many feared was harming Republicans' ability to take on President Obama in the fall. Though Romney remains a distance from the 1,144 delegates needed to claim the nomination, he can now turn his full attention to combating his general election opponent. Boosted two candidacies? What other candidacy did he boost? Ron Paul or something? I don't know. So the guy that it's funny, but I always knew it was going to be Romney. It wasn't going to be Palin. It wasn't going to be, you know, it was Romney. Gingrich, none of those guys. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. And, of course, we'll see you tonight, coming up tonight at 10 o'clock for another world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Adios.
You're a ghost.
That's a Rick and Suds out, but we'll take it.
Woo!
Phil Hendry.